The following is a class on the Bhagavad Gita as it is, chapter number 3, text number 29, given by His Grace Sriman Sankarshan Das Adhikari, recorded on April 10th, 2011, in Gurgaon, India.
Javritam Gyanametena Gyanino Nityavarina Kamam Rupena Konteya Dusparena Lalena Cha Avritam Covered Jnanam Pure Consciousness Etena By this Jnanina of the knower, Nityavarina, by the eternal enemy, Kamarupena, in the form of lust, Konteya, O son of Kunti, Dushparena, never to be satisfied. Analena, by the fire, Cha, also. Translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Thus, the wise living entity's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and which burns like fire. Report. It is said in the Manusmriti that lust cannot be satisfied by any amount of sense enjoyment. Just as fire is never extinguished by a constant supply of fuel. In the material world, the center of all activities is sex. And thus, this material world is called the Maitunya Agra, or the shackles of sex life. In the ordinary prison house, criminals are kept within bars. Similarly, the criminals who are disobedient to the laws of the Lord are shackled by sex life. Advancement of material civilization on the basis of sense gratification means increasing the duration of the material existence of a living entity. Therefore, this lust is the symbol of ignorance by which the living entity is kept within the material world. While one enjoys sense gratification, it may be that there is some feeling of happiness. But actually, that so-called feeling of happiness is the ultimate enemy of the sense enjoyer. Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Vadakamala Sri Guru Vaishnavascha Sri Rupa Sagrajata Sahagana Raghana Tanvita Tam Sajiva Sadaita Zavaduta Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Deva Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha. So, if you found that you were in prison, would you like to get out of prison? Or would you like to stay in the prison? You want to stay in the prison or you want to get out of the prison? Everyone wants to get out of prison. Nobody likes prison, but just imagine a prison where everyone is put under a spell of thinking, oh, this prison life is very nice. That's this material world. We are prisoners. We are inmates in this prison. This material body is our prison uniform. Sometimes we see they bring the prisoners out to work on the highway in the U.S. But you know they're prisoners because they have a special uniform. So we have our uniform that we are prisoners. This material body is our prison uniform, to show that actually we were rebellious against the Lord. Some may say, rebellious against the Lord? I was never rebellious against the Lord, but your material body is your proof. Your material body is proof that you rebelled against the Lord. That's why you're in this prison, the present moment. The qualification to get out of the prison is to stop being rebellious against the Lord. Instead of trying to defy His authority and act independently, you must now act under His direction. And there is no confusion as to what is His direction. That direction is given very, very clearly in the Bhagavad Gita. God Himself is speaking. How there can be any confusion? But the rascal commentators, they twist the message of Bhagavad Gita. Krishna said, surrender to me. What does the rascal commentator say? Did not surrender to Krishna, but surrender to the unborn, unmanifested that was within Krishna and within everything. What nonsense is this? If somebody goes around your city telling you to disobey the laws of the city, will the city tolerate them? He tells everyone, don't obey your government. The city will arrest him. So, those commentators who say, do not surrender to Krishna, in the name of Bhagavad Gita, they have the audacity to say, do not surrender to Krishna. They say when Krishna says me, it doesn't refer to the person Krishna, it refers to something else. But I ask you, sane gentlemen and ladies here today, does that make any sense? If I say bring me a glass of water, does that mean you pour the glass of water in the driveway? No, if I say bring me a glass of water, that means I want water. So if Krishna says surrender to me, that means Krishna wants you to surrender to Krishna. How they can say that me does not refer to Krishna? When you say me, it refers to yourself. How they can say that me does not refer to Krishna? They are the greatest rascal, these commentators. We don't want to hear from them. Such commentators, in the name of Bhagavad Gita, keep us entangled in the darkness of ignorance. Asya namate loka tangste tabrida. In this way, they keep us, they take us to the darkest regions of the universe. So we have to hear from the bona fide spiritual master, not from the rascal commentators. The bona fide spiritual master does not give his own opinion. He simply explains what Krishna says. Krishna says, surrender to me. So the bona fide spiritual master, does he say, surrender to me? No, he says, surrender to Krishna. So that is the spiritual master we should hear from. That spiritual master who purely repeats the words of Krishna. You should surrender to Krishna. That is the bona fide spiritual master. Not, I'm Krishna, you're Krishna, we're all Krishna. One spiritual master claimed to be Krishna, but he was getting gray hairs. Krishna does not get gray hairs. He claimed to be Krishna, but he could not lift the Govardhan hill. We have to be intelligent and not be misled by these charlatans. Indian culture has been spoiled in the Kali Yuga by these bogus gurus who do not represent the Mahajanas. We are meant, according to the Vedic wisdom, we are meant to follow the Mahajanas. Mahajano yena gata sapanta. We are meant to follow that pathway. That is Vedic culture. That is Indian culture. To follow the Mahajans, not any Tom, Dick, or Harry who sticks a peacock feather in his hair and says, I'm Krishna. Who are these great Mahajanas? Svayambhur nadadashambhu kumara kapino munu Pralado janako bhishmo balirvaya sakirvayam. Brahmaji, Naradaji, Shivaji, the four Kumaras, Kapila Dev, Svayambhuva Manu, Pralad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj. These are the Mahajanas. These are the great personalities we are meant to follow. If we will follow Brahma, Narada, Shiva, Kumaras, Kapiladev, Svayambhuva Manu, Pralad Maharaj, Janak Maharaj, Grandfather Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Shukadeva Goswami, and Yamaraj, then we will be solidly situated out of the darkness into the light. Tamasi ma jyotir gama. We will come out of the light, out of the darkness of ignorance into the light of transcendental wisdom. What is the darkness of ignorance? The darkness of ignorance means I think I am this body. I think I am male. I think I am female. I think I am American. I think I am Indian. Is it? These are false designations. Upadi. What does Rupa Goswami say? Sarvapadi vinirmuktam. One should be cleansed of all these material designations. Tat paritvena nirmalam. And completely purified. Cleansed of all the dirt in the heart. And then he should be restored to his pure identity. And when what does he do in his pure identity? He engages his senses in the service of the proprietor of the senses. Who is that? Rishikesha, Krishna. And what is it called? This is called devotional service. So this bhakti or devotional service, it is the actual method for getting out of all miserable material existence conditions of unhappiness. This bhakti system is a very powerful, very practical system. Why? Because it restores you to your original natural identity. We have nothing to do with the identities of this material world. These are coverings only. Nothing to do with it. We've grown up with it. As little kids, we were trained in it. It's all illusion. That I am a member of this family, I'm a member of this nation, a member of this race, a member of this religion. This is all material designation. What is the difficulty? Because these designations keep you identified with a bag of blood and flesh, which is destined to die today, tomorrow, or next week. But you have an eternal identity. You're a spiritual being. So when the eternal spiritual being, misidentifies himself with a temporary rotting bag of flesh, it is a very, very incompatible situation. He cannot be happy. You are not just a bag of chemicals like the scientists say you are. The scientists don't know what they're talking about. They have no idea of the Atma within. You are the eternal spiritual being. So unless you can actually live in the reality of your spiritual identity, no matter what you may do to become happy in this material existence, I can guarantee you absolutely you will not be satisfied. What is the proof? Krishna states in the Bhagavad Gita, Abrahma Bhavanaloka Punaravartinarjana Mamupechirukonteya Punarjanmanavidyate. From the highest planet in this material world down to the lowest, all are places of misery wherein repeated birth and death take place. But one who attains to my abode, O Sadam Kunti, Punarjanmanavidyate, he never takes birth again. This means even if you can have the biggest position of all, the ultimate CEO of this universe, Brahmaji, any living entity, he can become Brahmajis. You know that? Just like you can go to a corporation, you can work your way up the corporate ladder and become the CEO. It happens. Sometimes an ordinary worker, he just works his way up and becomes the CEO over a course of time. So you can become the CEO of this universe by pious activities. You can become Brahmaji in a future lifetime. Any one of you, any one of these children even, any one of you can become Brahmaji of this entire universe, the ultimate CEO of this material world, this material universe. But that position is not a position of happiness because still you have to die. What is the proof? Hiranyakashipu, the demon, Hiranyakashipu, he underwent great penances and austerities in order to achieve the position of immortality. He forced Brahmaji to come. He was executing such severe austerities, it was causing a great disturbance throughout the universe. So Brahmaji had to come and see what was going on and see what he could do to pacify this demon. And the demon, Hiranyakashipu, he said, I want you may give me immortality. What did Brahmaji say? I cannot give you immortality. Because I myself am a mortal being. I cannot bestow immortality upon you. So the ultimate miserable condition, the ultimate misery we all face is death. And even Brahmaji has to face death. So why we should be so keen to advance ourselves within this material world? Because no matter how far you may advance yourself in this material world, you are still going to be miserable. Miserable. Why not live your life in such a way that you can immediately reconnect with your eternal, all-knowing, all-blissful spiritual nature? That is what's taught by Krishna. That why should you suffer in this material world? You are not of this world. You're trying to be successful in a place that's not even your home. You made some mistake and you got sidetracked here in this material existence. This is not your place. You're not a citizen of this place. You don't have it. Your passport is a Goloka passport. You're a foreigner here in this material world. So why are you trying to make a big deal of a place where you're just a foreigner anyway? You're not of this place. Is it? You're actually a citizen of the spiritual sky. That place where people never die, where they never get old, where they never get sick, they never have to worry about money, they never have to worry about terrorists, or diseases, or plagues, or drought, or any of this garbage we suffer in this material world. Why are we so foolish that we continue to try to squeeze happiness out of a place where there is no happiness? It's a wonderful term here in this sloka today. Dushparena nalena cha. This material lust, it burns like fire and it's never satisfied. You ever tried to satisfy a fire by giving it more fuel? My dear fire, I see you're raging there. You're raging hungry. So let me satisfy you and give you some more fire so you'll cool off. Does the fire become satisfied when you give it more fire and more fuel? No. The fire, the appetite of the fire, which is a manifestation of Agni Dev, actually, becomes more voracious. The more you gratify that fire with fuel, it becomes more voracious, more voracious, more voracious. Similarly with your fire of lust. The more you gratify your fire of lust, the hotter your fire of lust will burn. Therefore, we minimize eating, sleeping, mating, and defending only insofar as is necessary to keep body and soul together. We're not interested in trying to enjoy this platform of eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. We're not interested in these things. Because as soon as you emphasize eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, Dushpalena and Alenacha, that fire of lust burns hotter and hotter and hotter. I'm thinking, well, if I can just make, you know, $10,000 a month, then I'll be happy. But as soon as you earn $10,000 a month, you're thinking, no, now I need $20,000 a month. As soon as you get $20,000 a month, I now might have $40,000 a month. No matter how much material facility you may get in this world, you will never be satisfied. I absolutely guarantee it. Therefore, do not emphasize material advancement. I'm not saying you have to live on the street and live in a tent on the side of the road as a beggar. Material advancement is okay, as long as you do it in the service of Krishna to facilitate the development of your Krishna consciousness and the Krishna consciousness of your family members and the Krishna consciousness of the world society at large. You Indian people have been instructed by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that you are to make your lives successful and do the highest welfare work of distributing Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. That is your duty as Indian. When one Indian took it very seriously, just see the impact that it had. The Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. In the early days of ISKCON, there was only one Indian in our movement. That was Prabhupada. I remember if an Indian came to the temple, wow, an Indian came to the temple. It was like a big thing, you know. One Indian came to the temple. Well, the Indian people are getting into it. Their own culture was really nice. So it's very enthusing, actually, to come here to India and see how you all are leading the world now here in India. The ISKCON world is being led by the Indians. That's actually, it should be that way. It should be that way, because that's Lord Chaitanya's order. Anyone who has taken birth in India, it is their duty to become perfect in Krishna consciousness and make the whole world Krishna conscious, you see. That is your duty. But no Indian was interested until Prabhupada came here with, as he said, my dancing white elephants. He brought the Western boys and girls here to dance in the kirtan on the beach in Bombay. They had a big tent pandal program. And the ladies and gentlemen of Bombay were amazed to see how these American boys and girls have taken our Vaishnava culture with great enthusiasm, with great determination. They were amazed to see. And then they said, well, if the Americans are doing it, it must be okay. We'll do it too. We thought our culture was old-fashioned, and now we need, we don't need bhakti, now we need nuts and bolts. And that's the new culture for India. Nuts, of course, there was no computer high-tech thing in those days. It was the nuts and bolts. We have to have nuts and bolts, you see. We don't need mantras, we need nuts and bolts. I remember I was riding on the airplane back in about 1980 in India, on Indian Airlines. Out of curiosity, I picked up the newspaper, and the article said, in the new modern India, the factories are the temples. Now Kumbh Mela has been replaced by the political rallies in Delhi. The author was saying like that. We don't need temples, we need factories. We don't need Kumbh Mela, we need political rallies in Delhi. Can you see? This is what the writer was saying in a prominent Indian newspaper in the editorial section, you see. So just see how far the Indian mentality has drifted away from the teachings of the Vedas, you see. You are the inheritors of the greatest culture in the world. So why run after Western technology? All the Indian students, they come in droves to the American universities to get technical training. We used to have our little preaching center. We have a preaching center in Austin, Texas, which has the largest university in the U.S. And we had a little center a few blocks away from the engineering school. We had a great program for all the Indian students for prasad. They all came. Many came from, we had a prasad. My wife, Vishnupriya Manaji, started a lunch program for all of them. It's very popular with the Indian students because there's so many Indian students coming to get technical training. But how many Indian students are coming to get trained in the highest tech? You see, you want to be high tech? If you want to be high tech, we'll make you the highest possible tech, you see. Your technical knowledge, if it's just on the platform of the body, it is low tech. Your so-called high tech is low tech. If you want high tech, you study the Vedas, you study the Gita, you study the Bhagavatam, then you will become a true high-tech person, you see. How to program your consciousness so you don't take birth again, you see. Actually, it is deprogramming, because our natural state of consciousness is Krishna consciousness. That is our natural state. Srila Prabhupada explains that the original natural energy of the living entity is Krishna consciousness. So we have been programmed, conditioned into another state of thinking something different. But now we have to get back to our original state of consciousness. So it's not difficult. All you have to do is associate with your original natural state of consciousness. And then just as a person suffering from amnesia, in contact with his original identity, it gradually remembers who he was. In the same way, by associating with those things associated with your original pure identity, you will gradually wake up and realize this was only a dream, that I was that body. It was just a dream. Actually, time is relative. In a dream that seems to go on forever, when you wake up from it, you realize it was just like that. Just like I was a little, I just gave a lecture this morning in Punjabi Bagh. I was a little tired. I didn't get much sleep last night. So I took a 7-minute nap before I came here. And I went in, within 7 minutes, I was completely gone. My wife woke me up. It's time to go to the next lecture. And I was amazed because I knew as I looked at my watch, it had only been 7 minutes. It was like millions of years. That 7 minutes was like millions of years, you see. So actually, when you awaken your Krishna consciousness, these millions and billions and trillions, actually an unlimited amount of time that you've spent here in this material world going through the cycle of birth and death, you'll see it was just a second. And now you're back with Krishna again and your eternal identity. So all we're really saying to you is wake up. Don't remain in the slumber of illusion. Wake up to your original identity. We're asking you all to kindly take this process very seriously. Wake up to your original pure identity beyond your body, beyond the cycle of birth and death. Come back to who you really are. That's all we're saying. Each and every one of you is an eternal resident of the spiritual sky. That's who you actually are. So now wake up from this illusion that you had some other identity and come back to being who you really are. That's our request. So we thank you very much, and now I can ask if there's any questions. The best thing is to write them down on paper and hand them forward. Because I'm hard of hearing, I can hardly hear what you're saying. But any questions?
Hare Krishna. Maharaj kare kisi ka koi prashn ho to wo kagaz pe likh ke dete
hain.
No one has any question? Here's one.
How to come back to Goloka?
How to go back?
To Goloka Vrindavan.
How to go back?
Yes.
It's very simple, Prabhu. All you have to do is follow the instructions given in the Bhagavad Gita. Krishna says, surrender to me. Surrender to Krishna means follow the instructions that Krishna gives you. He says you should eat food which has been offered first to him. He says that you should chant his holy names. He says that you should take shelter of a bona fide spiritual master. If you will do these three things as an act of surrender to Krishna, eat only Krishna Prasadam, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and follow the instructions of the bona fide spiritual master. If you will do these three things, I guarantee you, you will go back to Godhead. It's very simple, not difficult. You have to do it, that's all. Any other questions? Here's somebody writing a question down, maybe over here. The best thing, I should have told you in the beginning to write them down, because you have questions, but then you forget them during the course of a lecture. All right, there's a question back there. I've come a long way, so take advantage. I don't know when I'll come back again, so listen. Take advantage of this opportunity. Yeah. Is like the ladies are outdoing the men today. Two questions from the ladies. Okay. It is very difficult to do book distribution to foreigners. What's the most easiest way to preach to foreigners visiting India? Well, I would utilize the... I know the old line that our airport book distributors used to use. They'd be standing in the airport. People would be coming in from everywhere. They would go up and they'd say, "Where are you coming in from?" That'd be the opening line. So if you see a foreigner, you say, "Welcome to India. Where are you from?" That way, they'll be very happy. "Oh, someone actually welcomed me to India. They're asking me where I'm from." That's a great way to break the ice. You say, "Well, how do you like India?" "Well, here, I wanted to give you the essence of India all in this one book. So when you go back to your country, you can take India with you and always keep India with you for your whole life. It's called Bhagavad Gita." In this way, it would be very easy to distribute to foreigners. Okay. How can we... overcome? What is that word? How can we something cheating? How do we overcome it?
Attentive chanting.
Oh, attentive chanting. Okay. It looked like, how do we overcome cheating? But it's actually, the two questions are related. How do we do attentive chanting? Well, the way to do attentive chanting is to give up cheating. My mind is thinking, I'm thinking about this thing, that thing, then I got to get my rounds done, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, thinking about this thing, that thing. One thing, there's different types of cheating in japa. One is called jabber japa. You know, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, how you doing, Prabhu? Krishna, Krishna. What's happening with your wife these days? Rama, Rama, Don't do jabber japa. Your japa time is a meeting that you're having with God. It's a personal, private meeting you're having with God. It's not you chant japa and have a chit-chat at the same time. Another type of cheating is called radar japa. You like the radar at the airport? You know, the mission goes like this. You're doing your japa like this. Don't do radar japa. The other is dive bomber japa. You know, like in those dive bombers, they fly along and then they go and they drop the bombs, you know. So this is dive bomber japa. Don't do dive bomber japa. If you're sleepy, stand up. If you're still sleepy, walk back and forth. If you're still sleepy, jump up and down. You see? Keep yourself alert when you're chanting your rounds. And the best thing is to chant early in the morning when there's no distractions. At home or the temple, either one. The best thing is to get up before sunrise. Prabhupada said, ideally, all rounds finish before sunrise. That's the best thing. Anybody who meditates, they know before sunrise is the best time to meditate. The ultimate meditation is Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It far surpasses all other types of meditation. So get up early and do your Hare Krishna mantra meditation. And if those things still don't work, then here's another formula. Say, "My dear Krishna, your holy name bestows all benediction upon the living entities, but I'm so unfortunate that my mind is constantly distracted. Please, my dear Lord, bestow your mercy upon me and help me keep my mind fixed on your mantra." In this way, if you'll beg Krishna to help you, he definitely will. And your rounds will improve and you'll be swimming in an ocean of bliss every time you chant your japa. Okay. Did Krishna create this material world out of his mercy? Yes, this is to facilitate those who wanted to be independent of him. He gave them a place where they could have their sense of independence and at the same time become corrected from this foolish mistake. If yes, then why did he create something so painful to the living entities? No, you wanted it. Now you're complaining about pain, But you wanted it. It's like a little kid, he sees the adult smoking cigarettes. He says, Daddy, Daddy, I want to try a cigarette. The son, the father says, my dear son, it's a foolish waste of time. But Daddy, Daddy, it looks like so much fun. I want to try a cigarette. He says, all right, son, here, try it. The son takes it. Oh, that's horrible, Daddy. I don't want to never do that again, you know. So, you blame the father for the cough? No. It's the son's foolishness he ended up coughing. So that pain, that's your own foolishness. That's not Krishna. You can't blame Krishna for the pain. It's your own stupid foolishness. That's all. Isn't there a more pleasurable way possible for God to call us back to the... Krishna is giving you the most pleasurable way right now. Why don't you take it? Krishna is giving you unlimited nectar. It's available right now. In these two syllables, Krishna. Why don't you take it with full faith, with full attention? That is your nonsense. You're trying to blame God? That's rascaldom. It's your nonsense. Krishna has given you everything. Why you don't take it? Okay, next question. In the corporate life, we are forced to associate with karmis. Automatically, the consciousness is polluted. Lusty thoughts enter easily. What's the best prayer to avoid these thoughts? Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. What if Arjuna said, well, Krishna, I can't fight on this battlefield because there's too many karmis on this battlefield. Duryodhana's such a filthy karmi, I wouldn't want to go in the battlefield. It's not good for my Krishna consciousness. What would Krishna say? You know what? I'll give you an example. My godbrother, Harikesh Prabhu, he was told to go to Russia and preach. And, Harikesh said, but Prabhupada, what about my Krishna consciousness? You know what Prabhupada said? He said, damn your consciousness. It's not saying Krishna consciousness is bad, but it's saying he didn't understand that by serving the order of his spiritual master, that is Krishna consciousness. By thinking, well, I want a nice, rosy, comfortable situation to be Krishna conscious. But find out what your guru wants you to do. Does he want you to be in a rosy, comfortable situation? Or does he want you to do some austerity to serve his mission? You have to ask him. The real Krishna consciousness is to do whatever it takes to please your spiritual master. Even if you have to go to hell. Because, what's the example? Bali Maharaj. Bali Maharaj fully surrendered to Krishna. What was the reward? He was pushed down into hell. Did he get angry? Why did you do this to me? I just surrendered to you. Now you're pushing me into hell. What is this nonsense? No. He was very thankful. Oh, you pushed me into hell with your lotus foot. I take this as the greatest mercy. So if your spiritual master pushes you to work, continue your job in the corporate world, he takes his hand, his foot on your head and he pushes you back out there into XYZ Corporation and work your job. You say, Guru Maharaj, why are you doing this to me? Don't you know I want to be Krishna conscious? Krishna consciousness means to please your spiritual master, not to try to please yourself. Please your spiritual master. If he wants you to work there, you do it to please him. And as soon as you take that detached mood of pleasing Guru instead of pleasing yourself, guess what will happen? You'll taste the sweetest nectar of that corporate job. Because you're not doing it for yourself, you're doing it for Guru and Krishna. What is that sound? Turn that off. Turn off that ring sound. Ring! Turn it off. What is this? Next door? Anyway. Okay. How does one give up? It's not an air raid system, is it? They're not coming to bomb us, rather. Okay. If they are, it's okay. You know what Prabhupada said in Calcutta? In his house, Oderlei, the Japanese were bombing Calcutta. And the siren would go off like this, and everybody would run for the bomb shelter. The Japanese are coming, run for the bomb shelter. But Prabhupada was taking prashad. He wasn't letting anything disturb his prashadam. Prabhupada would take prashad in a very meditative way. He just continued to take prashad. He didn't run for the bomb shelter. And Prabhupada was saying, I was seeing how I could hear the bombs falling. Actually, the bombers coming. The bombs were dropping. He said, I could hear the bombs falling. Chi-kyam. And I was thinking, here comes Krishna. He was seeing this Krishna. So actually, we're not afraid of death. When death comes to a devotee, he just says, Mrityu sarvaharashtaham. This is Krishna. He has come in the form of death. Jai. So how does one give up material desires which rise in our heart against our wish? Stop wishing them. Actually, the material desires are coming because you wanted them. Not against your wish. You have to understand, it's because of your foolish wish. That's why they're coming. So stop wishing for them. Stop desiring material desires. Desire only pure spiritual desires. That's the key. Desire only Krishna and Krishna's service. Vishayavani vartante nirahara dehina rashavarsang rishopyasva parangdushvani vartate. The embodied soul may be restricted from sense enjoyment, though the taste for sense objects remains. But ceasing such engagements by experiencing a higher taste, he is fixed in consciousness. So desire is not bad. You simply desire to please Krishna. Fill your heart with unlimited spiritual desires, and when the material desires come to the hotel of your heart to check in and find a nice room to spend the night, what sign will they see in you, the lobby of your hotel?
Sold out.
Sold out. No vacancy. That's right. The material desires, oh my goodness, there's no room at the hotel. It's all sold out. No vacancy. In America, they say no vacancy. I don't know what they do in India. It's a traditional thing. No vacancy. That means you forget it. You won't get a room here. In bhakti, despite our best attempts to perform sadhana, we get difficulties. How do we understand this? Take those difficulties as a blessing from Krishna. He is burning. Those difficulties means you are burning off now the reactions from your past sins. So take the difficulties with a smile. They're a blessing. You're burning off your past sinful reactions now. So don't be disturbed by difficulties. Just thank Krishna for minimizing them. Next questions. Okay. In their enthusiasm to spread Krishna consciousness and please their guru, some disciples just instruct others and engage them in the service of their guru without being loving in the first place. Should I accept their instructions? Yes. Acharya means who sets the ideal example. If the other devotee is not being an acharya, then you be an acharya. If I say, well, you're not being an acharya, so I'm not going to be one either. No. You be the example. You be the acharya. And actually, if you look at it, we're all guilty of this. All of us are guilty of this, not just others. You have to see you're also guilty of this mentality. You see? So it's easy to find fault with others, you see. It's very easy to be objective about the faults of others. When it comes to our own faults, we can't be very objective. We're very subjective, you see. It's very easy to see the faults in others and very difficult to see the faults in ourselves. Therefore, what does Prabhupada say? He says you should be very strict with yourself and very lenient with others. If someone else is... there's some fault in their behavior, some fault in their preaching, but they're sincere, then you should be tolerant. Be tolerant of them. And understand, all right, they're going through some, they're still a young devotee, they're going through some growing pains. They will mature gradually because they're sincerely trying to serve. So let them, so encourage that person. Even if there's some fault in their instructions, give some encouragement to them. And try to help them to be enthusiastic and continue their service. This is called maturity, you see. Be mature. If someone is being immature with you, should you be immature back to them? Then there's like two dogs, you know. The one dog goes roof, the other goes roof, roof. The other goes roof, roof, roof. And the big, and they start a dog fight, you see. There's no point. If a devotee is being immature with you, should you be immature back? No, you be mature back to that devotee. And then you're teaching that devotee by your example. You're helping that devotee, you see. Don't be immature back to a devotee if they behave immaturely with you. No, you be mature with them when they deal immaturely with you, and then you're helping them to make advancement in Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna Maharaj, we know to chant better means to chant offenselessly, but it is always beyond my control sometimes to be offenseless. That's not true. Who says it's beyond your control? It is under your control. The senses and the false ego are so strong. Maya dakshena prakati suvate sacharacharam. What is that? Daivi hyesham gunamayi mama maya daratyaya mamevaye prabhanyante mayamitam tanantite. This material nature is very difficult to overcome, but for those who have surrendered unto me, they can easily cross beyond it. So if you find that the senses and the false ego are so strong, what does it mean? It means you're not surrendering to Krishna. Because if you do surrender to Krishna, it's very easy to conquer the senses, it's very easy to conquer the offenses, it's very easy to conquer over false ego. So I'm going to wrap it up here real quick. Just kind of buzz through it here because we have to get ready to catch our flight to Europe. So. Different family members have different attachment to this world. How to overcome this attachment? You have to get everybody attached to Krishna. That's so. That's how you help them overcome their attachment. My experiences with Prabhupada, some unforgettable moments. Prabhupada told me, he said, "You are a very sincere and enthusiastic boy. Now continue enthusiastically as sure as you are doing, and surely Krishna will bless you." I decided to take that order very seriously, and it works. Okay. All right, this is the last one then. Agree that this material world is full of miseries. Many people give up, prefer not to take care of the family in the guise of Krishna consciousness. How fair is that? What to do with such people? Prabhupada did not want people to give up their families, actually. You should, in other words, for example, that Back to Godhead magazine. Prabhupada said we should send a copy of Bhakti Godhead magazine to every devotee should get a subscription for his parents. He didn't want the devotees to just say, "Oh, they're Maya, forget about them, they're nonsense, I want nothing ever to do with them ever again." No, he said, send them a Bhakti Godhead subscription. And any parents of devotees would come, Prabhupada would very happily spend time speaking with the parents. So we do not reject our mundane, our family members who have not taken to Krishna consciousness. We maintain our connection with them because by their attachment to us, now we can influence them to become devotees. Okay, so that's it for now. And we thank you all very much for carrying on this mission of Srila Prabhupada and Lord Chaitanya here in this city, which is the first time I've come here. And Gurgaon. Gurgaon, yes, Gurgaon. So please make this Gurgaon completely Krishna conscious city. Make a big temple here and make thousands and thousands and thousands of devotees in this city. You should be
Yes!